to the Roto Experts.
This is the Roto Expert, alongside the fantasy executive Corey Parson, the King Scott Angle, Wall Street Matt Modica. I am Greg Stuckey. How are you feeling this morning, Scotty?
Doing good. Are you feeling good if you had Antonio Brown and Ben Roethlisberger? If you're playing against them, all is not lost. Doesn't look good, but all is not lost. And if you're a basketball fan, you were quite impressed by the comeback and the defense of the Boston Celtics last night as they won their 14th in a row.
Yeah, Boston Celtics played well last night. It was a good game. It was a much better game than the football game was. It was good stuff. Matty Mo.
Yeah, no, it was an interesting game. Ben looked good at times, really good. It was a good game for him. Antonio Brown is, he's money in the bank. And there was a dilly-dilly dropped in the game. I wasn't sure if I heard
dilly-dilly! Yeah, I'm so done with dilly-dilly.
No, I'm done with it.
I'm so done.
I find myself saying it at times, but I don't even like it.
Yeah, I don't even say it. It was brought up to me a while ago, and I was like, all right, I get it. Now, it's funny. No, it's too much.
I think maybe I say it sometimes just to annoy my wife.
Yeah. No, I haven't done it with
Mike. That's always fun.
You're in a dilly-dilly, Corey.
Not really.
No. Yeah. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you very much. How are you doing, Greg?
I'm doing okay.
Antonio Brown, he did... I have one team that has Antonio Brown on it.
Screw you, Will.
Huh?
Screw you, Will. He said it yesterday.
I think yesterday I said 11 for 117, for 175 and two touchdowns. He tried to do that. You know what I'm saying? He outdid that, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Yeah, my Martavis Bryant touchdown prediction almost came through.
That was close one right there. But the team that I have Antonio Brown on, one team. You know what team it is?
The worst team.
The one that didn't have the quarterback?
The one that doesn't have the quarterback.
You and Antonio Brown have history, Corey.
Yes,
it's
do.
Like, Antonio Brown saves Christmas, so somebody probably, one of his people probably passed a message on him, and he said, I have to help Corey compensate.
Yes, so there you go. Good looking out. Shout out to AB84. Yeah, for getting it done last night. Big time performance from AB. Me and Antonio Brown will always be linked to each other, Scott.
Yes, because you were the guy that predicted that he was going to have a major, major breakout season.
Yes.
But also, the great thing about Antonio Brown is we sit here talking about guys who have disappointed and unpredictability. Like, if you have Jared Goff, you're so happy. But Antonio Brown did last night what you drafted him high back in August for.
I don't know why we keep overlooking this guy.
I don't think we are.
Well, why is he being drafted like third, fourth?
I think you're saying why we overlook him, why don't enough people take him as number one overall?
He's been the best player in fantasy for like 4 years now.
Yes.
No, Corey's 100% right, but it is tough to pass up on what David Johnson did last year.
Stories about superstars getting injured. This was nice to see fantasy-wise.
I'll talk more about the Steelers and the Titans when we return. It's the Roto Experts, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Back with you here on the Roto Experts. Oh, this is nice. This is a little Smash Pumpkins. I like that. It's good stuff.
You're a Smash Pumpkins guy?
I like tonight.
Yeah.
I do like Despite All My Rage Until There's a Rat in the Cage.
I like tonight. What's another song that I would like? That's a other pop song.
I don't know. It's like 25 years.
They've had a lot of them.
Yeah, there's only two that people have heard of. One of them's that one. The other one is called, it's a year.
I don't remember what it was. Whatever. Mm. Silly.
I remember when that song was a big thing, though.
See? Yeah. I think it was when I was growing up. Yes! Scumbers, 1979. There you go.
Actually, like more like 1990s.
No, the name of the song.
Oh, the name of the song. Yeah.
Lord.
Some special Pokins fan you are. All right.
I'm not a big one, though.
Clearly.
Corey's never heard of him before.
I've heard of Smashing
Pumpkins. What do you bring Corey into it for?
No, because that's what he does. But I've heard of Smashing Pumpkins before. Sure. I couldn't tell none of that music, though.
It's okay. It's no problem.
No, I know.
The Steelers defeated the Titans on Thursday night, 42-17. Oh, it was 42-17, not 42-17. Making that clear. And this one was never a game.
The first quarter was entertaining.
The first quarter was entertaining. And then it wasn't really that entertaining anymore. Unless you're like you're a big Steeler fan or only like Steelers in fantasy football.
I make a correction. The first half of the first quarter.
Yeah.
Like 17 points real quick.
And that was nice. And then it was like not so nice anymore. Ben Roethlisberger throws for 4 touchdowns, no interceptions, almost 300 yards. And Scott Engel, the concept still remains. Ben Roethlisberger is a different quarterback at home than he is on the road.
Yeah, and he certainly took advantage of the matchup, against this secondary. The first touchdown, Antonio Brown pulled an Aaron Rodgers, so he had a free play, threw up a jump ball. This team was really didn't run the ball a lot last night. It was just all about up-tempo. The Titans were trying to slow things down, but as soon as the Steelers got the ball, they were flinging it. This was good to see if you were streaming Roethlisberger this week.
I mean, if you're a Le'Veon Bell owner, you're really ticked off that they took that touchdown away from him. I mean, he still had to put up like 14 points or so. But on the season, though, I think his yards per carry is like 3.8, which, look, he does so many things, but it is kind of weird when we, what is this, week 11?
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that he's healthy is good.
Yeah, absolutely. And I thought it was interesting. They were talking about it on the broadcast on Thursday that Ben Roethlisberger, and the reason they're so successful at home is because they feel more comfortable going into their audibles and their hot routes and their other sets and be able to hear each other. And on the road, there is that bit of they're a little frantic, and they're not nearly as comfortable, and it doesn't really seem to be home cooking.
They're professionals. They should have figured this out years
ago. 10 years ago?
Yeah, exactly. These dudes been playing like this for a long time.
Ben's going to retire, and they're going to figure it out.
Yeah. And then the next thing,
of a sudden. Sometimes it doesn't get figured out. I mean, you look at a sport like baseball, and, some guys play better at home than on the road. It does translate to football as well. And I asked a major leaguer about it, and he said, look, when you're at home, it's a different mentality. You're sleeping in your own bed. You know your stadium. You know the people there. You know the environment. It's more comfortable for you. So it's just a mental thing.
You're absolutely right, and I'm with you, and I'm with you on that, Scott. And that's why I think a lot of people were interested in streaming him last night. On Thursday, biggest benefactor of Ben Roethlisberger at home has been the biggest beneficiary of Ben Roethlisberger at home for, his entire career. And that's Antonio Brown. 10 receptions, 144 yards, 3 touchdowns for AB84, Corey.
AB84 gets it done, you know what I'm saying? When you need it most, big time week like this. It looked like, we know what the Tennessee offense is. It's Tennessee secondary is. So you knew AB was going to have a good one going into this one, not to mention the fact he only had 3 receptions last week. But Brown just comes out and get it done. They can't guard this dude. And what I don't understand is why does he keep getting better? It's like he's not falling off. Look at these routes that he runs. This guy's the best wide receiver in football. He's Jerry Rice of our era.
He keeps getting better because he just has it. Again, it's an intangible thing. It's, he has the confidence that he is the best, I believe.
Oh, certainly.
And it shows on the field. He really believes that nobody can hang with him. He's not arrogant about it when you hear him in interviews, etc. I just believe that internally he believes that he's the best and he has to be the best in order for his team to win ball games.
I remember last year when Brandon Marshall bet him like a Rolls Royce or something or a Porsche that he would have more points than he'd have a better fantasy year. That was laughable. But look, I mean, AB is AB. I mean, that's why he's top 4, top 3, if not the best fantasy player, however you want to rank him. He's there. But I will say one thing. I thought Adoree Jackson, for the most part, did play a pretty good game. He wasn't on him all the time. But, I mean, there's just no defending Antonio Brown when he's on his game.
Yeah, and, you know, to Corey's points, you know, about, you know, where he stands in history, Antonio Brown really changed the game at wide receiver. Before Antonio Brown broke out as a superstar, you didn't see a lot of 5'10", 185, 190 guys being the best receivers in the game. It was all about the big dominant receiver. There weren't that many. Antonio Brown really changed the game in that respect.
Well, I mean, yesterday was a day of vertically challenged people. You know, Jose Altuve won the MVP.
Yeah, there you go. Matt didn't have his baseball in yesterday, so we have to make sure he threw it in our A block here today. Oh, my goodness gracious. What?
What are you looking at?
Instagram?
No, I'm, oh, not, okay. I'm not you.
Yeah. Oh, you're not?
No.
All right.
What?
Nothing.
All right. And I was honestly looking at the Houston Rockets putting up 90 points in the first half.
Of that was crazy.
See, that's what I said. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
We're
88 by Harden.
they're better than just that.
I'm saying, though, it's like it didn't even matter that like Chris Paul was back. Just like he was, what an insane game from Harden last night.
It was crazy, man.
Do you own him anywhere?
No, I do not own a single share of James Harden last night. But 48, there's two more in the process than a couple nights ago.
Yeah.
Anyway! Back to football here. So Antonio Brown had the 10 for 144. Let's talk about Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell averaging, as you mentioned, Matt, 3.8 yards a carry. And 3.8 yards a carry is very not Le'Veon Bell-like. He had 12 carries, 46 yards. Touchdown was taken off the board on Thursday. He did have 9 receptions, 457 yards. So he goes over 100 total yards. He has the 9 receptions. You're taking it from Le'Veon Bell because it's Le'Veon Bell, but it should have been better.
It should have been. I mean, and the one thing, like replay, he did not get in. I mean, it was like inches.
That was crazy.
It was inches, but, you know, they had the celebration and everything. I don't know who has better celebrations, the Steelers or the Vikings.
The Steelers are amazing.
The Vikings are pretty good, though, too.
I don't know. The Steelers just have so many.
The hide-and-seek was, like, my favorite of the season. I don't know.
The monkey in the middle was great.
But, I mean, as long as...
What about when they reenacted the fight?
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
as long as Bell's going to get targeted 11 times in the passing game and, you know, get the runs. Look, he still puts out... He was inches away from a 20-point week. So nobody's going to complain
no,
about
no,
that.
No, no, no.
It's pretty much what he's been averaging all season anyway. So, like I said, you're disappointed that they went to the video and took that back from him.
Well, that's what they have to do, unfortunately. You know, you hope that you would get better numbers from Le'Veon Bell, but look, it just wasn't there. Tennessee, as many problems as they have against the pass, are good against the run. You know, teams look to bottle up Le'Veon Bell, and then they'll pay in the passing game. You know, and that's the way it is. That's why the Steelers' offense is balanced. But still, you get a lot of catches from Le'Veon Bell. If he's not going to do it in the running game, he'll bolster things with the passing game. So at the end of the day, you know, there's a nice floor with Le'Veon Bell. You hope for more, but look, it's not there.
I think there's no reason to panic on Le'Veon Bell. Lev Bell is 1-1, you know what I'm saying? Now, when you look at this situation right here, I would not worry about it because one thing about Lev Bell, what Pittsburgh is going to do, we saw it during the playoff weeks last week, they're going to start running the football more and more down the stretch, and Le'Veon Bell is going to be the guy they go to do that.
Antonio Brown might be 1-1.
I'll say one thing. Juju didn't put up the numbers that I think fantasy owners were hoping for. But he really keeps maturing as a receiver week in and week out. That catch he made to move the chains was it was just damn terrific.
Look, you know, you got, you know, about 9 points from him, but not every player is going to blow up every single week. You know, that's just a fact of fantasy football life.
Juju Smith-Schuster played 83.5% of the snaps, the highest of his career. Played very, very clearly as the number two wide receiver all night for Pittsburgh. Martavis Bryant was actually on the field a bunch, and I thought he was involved. I thought he was involved. Ben looked to him a whole bunch of times, 4 times to be exact. He also recovered Antonio Brown's fumble, which is a huge play at the end of the first half. But Bryant only finished with 2 for 30. So if you're and it's clear.
But they were throwing, like you said.
Yeah, there was.
He should have had a touchdown.
There was one series in which they were throwing to him a lot. You know, the the touchdown thing, that was batted away, so it wasn't going to be a touchdown. But, you know, look, they were targeting him, and there were a few two receiver sets where they actually put him in instead of Schuster.
Yeah, but again, it was Smith-Schuster that played 85 or so percent of the snaps.
Well, they opened the game with Eli Rodgers and not Martavis Bryant.
I thought all four of them were out there, to be honest with you.
They were kind of rotating sets. Yeah.
Yeah, it was all four. I do have a question when it comes to Martavis Bryant and Juju Smith-Schuster. I'm going to ask you, Corey, when we come back. So Roto Experts, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Don Byrne's having himself a morning today.
Body snatching.
I love it. Well done job by Don Byrne on his game. This is more Smashing Pumpkins.
Yep.
Wonderful.
Yes. Well, also a good start, Don Byrne.
My wife liked him a lot back in the 90s.
And now that's my entire repertoire of Smashing Pumpkins songs that I know. There you go. Now, Corey, my question for you, we just talked about celebrations.
Yeah.
And have you noticed, like I did, whenever, let's say, Antonio Brown scored, Le'Veon Bell scored, they had these, you know, elaborate celebrations.
Yeah.
But there are three guys involved. Le'Veon Bell.
I noticed that, too.
Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
And Juju.
Yeah.
On every time one of the three of them scored, even Le'Veon Bell's didn't count, it was always the three of them.
Yeah.
Do you take anything away from that? Because I do. Like, to me, it's like, all right, Juju is a part of this thing.
No, he is. You know what I'm saying?
Martavis is not.
I mean, he's going to be one of the players that's going to touchdowns. You know what I'm saying? That's the way they look at it. They practice the touchdown celebrations because they think that those are the guys that's going to be in the end zone, or at least that's what the playbook dictates.
That's it right there. You know, Corey nailed it right there. Those are the guys that are probably going to be scoring a lot. You know, it's... you know, maybe like if they have to stay extra practice, like, okay, we'll work on one. We might have to do a solo celebration.
I'm going to fast forward to 2018, and Juju Schuster is going to be all the rage, how he's going to make the step.
He was what round 20 is he going to be drafted old. In?
Yeah. What?
What round is he going to be drafted in?
He's going to be...
I say fourth.
Yeah,
I would say a third, fourth
maybe,
round.
Maybe you know, sneak into the third.
Think about this. Wherever we draft Martavis Bryant,
is where we're going to draft.
Is where you're going to draft Juju Smith-Schuster.
He's going to be going off the board around between wide receiver 25 and wide receiver 30.
100%.
I think some people would jump on him earlier.
It is pretty, you know, for a 20-year-old, what he's doing at that position. Like I said, the most impressive play to me was when he caught that pass to move the chains. I thought that was, you know, a hell of a catch. And it was, I don't know if you saw the clip after the game, him and Adoree Jackson were college teammates and everything. He really wanted that jersey. Jim pulled it off him. That was pretty good.
They were saying last week when they played Indianapolis, like the first time there was a guy who was under 21 and over 40 played in the same game when it was Smith-Schuster and Vinatieri. When Smith-Schuster was born, Vinatieri was playing in the Super Bowl.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's why they've been around for a very long time. Yeah. But yeah, Juju's going to be super drafted super high in the next year. And I think the problem with that is that it takes away some of what you like about Juju because, you know, 447 is fine. Where do you take him where he's going to go next year? That is not fine.
Well, not every player is going to blow up every week. You know, there's going to be games next year where he's going to have huge games, and he's going to have something like this. If you get a 9-10-point floor, look, you don't want a 3, okay? And, you know, a lot of talk on Twitter and Roto Experts Platinum to me about Amari Cooper. I want from Smith-Schuster what I get. If a bad game is going to be 8-9 points, you have a blow-up game on Amari Cooper, one big blow-up game, and then like 6-7 quiet weeks. I don't want that.
I want to know who's going to be who's going to be quarterbacking the Pittsburgh Steelers next year.
Yeah, I think it'll be
Tyrod
interesting.
Taylor.
I don't think, you know, never know. I mean, maybe.
God, please don't do that to Tyrod Taylor. Don't put him with, don't. Tyrod Taylor, Tyrod Taylor's had a hard enough time. Do not have that man working with Todd Haley.
It'd be nice to work with Antonio Brown, Smith-Schuster.
That's true, too,
though.
But honestly, Todd Haley is not somebody you want to have on.
If Big Ben really did retire, like, Kirk Cousins just goes to Pittsburgh, that would be fun. I think that could be fun.
That would be fun. Frank Stanford wants him to come to the Jets.
Every Jet fan wants him to go to the Jets.
Alex Smith?
Nah.
You have to be a trade, and two rivals are not going to do that.
Well, no, but I think Alex Smith's going to get released. They're going to owe him like $20 million.
And oh.
They're going to make him a $20 million backup.
Yeah.
All right. He'll make some money.
Jesse James, 5 catches, 21 yards on Thursday. He scores a touchdown. A really nice play. I thought Chris Collinsworth actually did a really nice job on Thursday night describing it, how it works so well, because Jesse James literally blocked for a good 5 seconds there and went low or whatever, and then at the very last second, you know, sneaks out and there's no one within.
Jesse James got 8 targets last night.
Yes, yeah. He did.
He's not a thing, though. We really hadn't heard from him. Vance McDonald was in that game.
But we
hadn't heard from him since week one, so James is not a thing.
Yeah, I agree. Jesse James is not someone you can look at going forward.
I think it was an anomaly that he was targeted that often last night.
So Marcus Mariota threw 4 interceptions on Thursday for the Titans. And I got to ask you, Corey, when you... What?
He's not lived up to expectations.
No, certainly not. But I'm not even saying that quite yet. I'm looking at... To me, watching these interceptions from the angle that we saw on Thursday night, which is super, super interesting, because you saw it, like, you saw what he's seeing, and you saw this wide openness when there are certain passes, specifically the Pittsburgh side, where these guys make these curl routes, and they're just sitting in the pocket, like, oh, this is really cool. And then, coming to the interceptions, you see what he's seeing, like, Marcus, what are you doing? Why are you throwing
I gotta take a time out here. These angles, I really enjoyed them, I really liked them. But people got to understand that we're watching it like on TV and stuff. The game moves so much faster.
Absolutely.
It does, but this angle is wonderful. I love this Madden-style angle. We can see everything develop in front of you. When I go to an NFL game, I love sitting, you know, in the end zone and seeing everything in front of you. And you can just see it, Greg. You're right. Like, you know, first interception, high throw. And they, like, not even anticipating that the defender was going to break on the ball, especially on the sensor ball interception. By the same flip side, though, we talked about how the Steelers' secondary was without two key players. The backups really stepped up last night, and they still played really good defense in the secondary. You got to give the Steelers' secondary a lot of credit. I really believe this team is the biggest threat to New England in the entire AFC. People talk about, you know, in the past playoffs about how, you know, they would just eat up the Steelers in the middle of the field. I think the Steelers know that. And they have better playmakers in the secondary than they've had in the past. It's going to be real interesting, but credit to the Steelers' defense last night.
I thought the sensible interception was the killer. They had a nice drive going there. Before the half and everything.
They win the game.
That really...
No, back to Corey. Mm-hmm. Hey, what did you think of the angle last night? Seeing Mariota's interceptions from that angle all night long.
I mean, it was cool. You know, I'm saying viewed it like seen that view before and stuff like that. But it was cool. It was something different. You definitely get to see that he's not really... I don't know. I think we overrated where he was going to go this year.
I agree with that.
Yeah, because there was the... Like Matt talked about that stretch last year when he really took advantage of the schedule, and that's what you're supposed to do. But Mariota, like as Corey said, has been injured. But you know, last night it wasn't about health. He was obviously healthy because he ran for a touchdown. But you know, it was just bad decision making and inaccurate throws. It was flat out bad quarterbacking.
That being said. And I agree with everything. You know, Mariota has not lived up to what we thought. But look at these next 4 games. We go back to last year, and look what he did when he had that easy stretch. They're a 6-win team right now. The next 4 games, I don't see how they don't win 10 games this year. So these next 4 games are lining up for them very nicely.
What are the next four games?
He's maybe somebody that right before your trade deadline, the owner's probably sour on him. Maybe you put him as your backup. You get another guy for the run. I'm just saying, we saw what he did last year.
The next 4 games for the Tennessee Titans. You're at Indy next weekend, home against Houston, in Arizona, in San Francisco are the next 4 games for Marcus Mariota. Of course, the last one, the last game of that playoffs is the Rams, which isn't terrible. Anyway, it's not terrible either. Before wrapping up with the Jags.
The Rams are going to be tough.
They're wrapping up with the Jags in week 17.
Yeah, having the Jags week 17.
We don't care about that.
The Rams is going to be tough.
All right, well, it's week 16. Get there. That's my philosophy. There, yeah. Let's get to week 16. Yeah,
agreed.
17.
Agreed.
Okay, so Marcus Mariota was brutal on Thursday night, and you hate to see that. And ultimately, it made clear how separating that AFC is for me. Like, the Titans just are not near that class yet. And Scott mentioned Pittsburgh. I think you threw KC in there as well, and New England. I don't even know if Pittsburgh's a challenge to New England because Pittsburgh can't beat them. We've said that before.
I think they're equipped now to do it.
But you got
to
do it. You know?
But you got to do it.
I think they have a better chance than ever before. I wouldn't put Kansas City quite in that class.
They better hope Kansas City do it for them because I don't think they
can. They can do it. They'll beat KC every time.
But they cannot.
But they cannot beat New England.
That's the way it used to be. I think they're equipped to do it now.
But I feel like it's so interesting. Your philosophies are so interesting because you say like a quarterback cannot do like Carson Wentz can't go into playoffs and win because it's Carson Wentz.
Right.
But why could Pittsburgh all of a sudden now just beat New England when they've never done that before?
Because I believe the defense is better equipped with playmakers and the way that they play. That entire defense, they didn't have the playmakers to stand up to Tom Brady in the past. I believe that I believe the defense can travel. But, you know, the way, the philosophy, the way they're flying to the ball, the way they're anticipating. I'm not saying it's definitely going to happen. I think they have the best chance this year of beating New England and maybe pulling off like a Baltimore when Baltimore, you know, beat the Patriots in the AFC championship.
Baltimore like the seventh seed right now. Baltimore's always sitting
they
right
are.
There.
It's always sitting right there, yo. If they make the playoffs, I will be so pissed.
And you're right. And they'll get in the playoffs, and you know what they're going to do? They're going to knock somebody off, and you'll be like, here we go with Baltimore again, and Joe Flacco's going to be...
this horrible football.
Joe Flacco's going to be elite and everything else that goes along with the Baltimore
Danny
Ravens.
Danny Woodhead Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah, exactly. What the hell is going on?
Hey, he may win some people fantasy championships.
Are you guys pumped for that Baltimore-Jacksonville Saturday afternoon thriller?
That's going to be it right there.
Oh, it's a shame that those Saturday afternoon games are always like terrible.
It's the worst. It's the worst game of the week. You start the playoffs off with the absolute worst
bad
possible
wild card
game.
I
guarantee you Kansas City be playing in that game.
The only way they're not is Baltimore-Jacksonville.
Yeah, exactly.
Baltimore-Kansas City, you know, something like that.
Usually get KC-Houston, but I don't know Houston. Yeah. You get KC-Tennessee, something like that. Oh, my God. It's disgusting. seriously, it's absolutely pathetic. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, I think we also need to go. There's more Tennessee we need to talk about. A lot more Tennessee, including at some point. I said this earlier this week. And sometimes put up a shut up time for Corey Davis. We'll be back right after this.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Part of that 1979 Smashing Pumpkins. Smashing Pumpkins hour.
Here.
The body snatcher is smashing it.
Oh. That's after Hudson broke up with David Otunga.
It wasn't her people was a wrestler, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that makes sense. I guess it was only a matter of time.
I don't know how wrestling relationships work.
Well, he was a Harvard lawyer.
I didn't
as well,
know that either.
Harvard graduated lawyer, and now she must have broken up with him. I'm sure he's not breaking up with her. You know,
more than likely, that's the way. Probably was the way it went down. Yeah. I hope everybody heals properly.
You think it's because she got skinny now? Is that what it is?
I don't know. I don't.
Well, she was smart. She did it before the holidays.
Yeah. Shout out to Jennifer Hudson.
Yeah. Shout out to Jennifer Hudson, indeed.
American Idol.
American Idol loser.
Yep.
American Idol loser for sure.
Dream Girls.
Yeah.
Does she have an Oscar?
From Dreamgirls, she does.
She has an Oscar, she has an Oscar and a Grammy.
Does she have a Grammy?
I think so.
Are we just assuming she has a Grammy?
I might just be assuming.
And she probably does. Right?
Yeah, pretty talented if you have an Oscar and a Grammy.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Let's see here. Awards won Oscar. I'm looking for an Academy Award here. Oh, here we go. It's at the very top. She's won an Academy Award, a Golden Globe. No Grammy.
No Grammys.
Okay. Did Diana Ross get an Oscar for Lady Sings the Blues?
Yes, she did.
She did win the Grammy.
That was a young Billy Dee in that one as well.
And also Richard Pryor, yeah.
She did win. She oh my goodness! She won a Grammy, an Academy Award, a daytime Emmy. Does that count as an Emmy?
Yeah,
I believe so. Yeah,
you counting that as the Emmy?
Yeah.
Huh? She is literally a Tony Award away. That means, huh? A Tony Award away from the EGOT.
It's talented.
Not many people have the EGOT.
Sad story. What happened with her family?
No, that's tough.
In Chicago. Oh yeah, God. That was horrible.
Awful.
Yep.
Awful. All right. It's Jennifer Hudson, you know, update. Talk.
Yeah. 15 points in the PPR. Jay Hud.
Jay Hud.
Yeah. I met Jay Hud a couple times.
Yeah.
Have you? Was she nice?
Yeah, she was nice.
Yeah. The... It's about the Titans.
I'm cool with that, too.
You're cool with that, too.
Yeah. Okay. Jay Hud a Titans fan?
Might be. Yeah. My guess would be the Bears, but who knows?
Maybe, yeah. I can't do a great... All right. So, Titans, we're talking about the passing game before we get to the running game. And we were, those of us speculating, Rashard Matthews, it worked out, right? 5 for 113, 75-yard touchdowns, first play of the second half. And it was really cool. You saw the angle. You just saw him get loose, wide open in the middle of the field. Yeah. Mariota put a perfect pass on him, made a nice couple cuts, winds up in the end zone for the touchdown. Nice play by Rashard Matthews.
Yeah. It was his game to have last night. I thought they'd have more success with Mitchell out, no Hayden, but the Steelers at home, their defense, you know, was swarming.
Yeah, and you know, as far as Matthews goes, he's not the most talented guy, but you can see that he's got a high football IQ and works really, really hard on the fundamentals. That guy knows how to get open. He came out of nowhere in Miami, you know, when they were expecting other guys to step forward, and has really found a nice home in Tennessee and is underrated as both an NFL and a fantasy receiver.
Yeah, he was better last year than he was this year, but Rashard Matthews gets it done. He has a good rapport with Marcus Mariota, so he's just he's a wide receiver three, like the definition of a wide receiver three. Mm-hmm. He could be left on your bench by accident at times.
But part of the problem is that they have so many receivers and so many options.
That do the same
thing.
And
Delaney Walker was getting tired with him. What I found was pretty crazy, the final snap count, Corey Davis had 54 and Matthews had 53. That was interesting.
Yeah. I think that is interesting. The two guys you want to rely on here thus far, I want to make it clear, the two guys you want to rely on in Tennessee are still the same two guys you wanted to rely on the last 2 years. And I think with new toys like Corey Davis, we always kind of gloss over that. And that is Rashard Matthews and Delaney Walker. Delaney Walker gets it done week in and week out, year in and year out. 6 catches, 92 yards on 9 targets. He does it every week.
This is fantasy football, how should I say, anticipation, though, that we always have, that the young guy is going to come up and supplant the established guy. And it doesn't always happen as quickly as we anticipate.
No, I mean, it hasn't. And not for nothing, Delaney Walker was on the verge of a huge game, and then for a minute, he turned into Eric Ebron and he didn't rock that pass.
Can you believe that?
It was like Chris Collinsworth said, he was too open. Like, sometimes you're just too
Julio
open.
Julio Jones style.
Yeah.
That's all I think
there
about.
There you go.
Yeah. Seriously, it's literally all I think about.
Clink. Yeah.
And both of them were just wide open, and I really feel like these guys are just thinking about their touchdown celebrations.
But I do think they do have these next 10 days. Like we said, the schedule opens up really nice for them. Matthews is going to have his Delaney Walker. As long as he's healthy and on the field, he's going to. But I do think Corey Davis does need to get more. Look, he got the snaps, but he needs to get back to those. He needs to get at least double-digit targets. This is talented. Yes, the talent must translate, play out, like you said. You know, talent don't mean nothing in the box score if it's not showing up there. But you see little glimpses here and there.
Yeah, you anticipate so much with the talent, but this is a very important time of year. I think with a 4-game stretch coming up like this, let's look at the first game and it's in Indianapolis, and you'll say to yourself, such a good matchup, etc. But he's got to show it first. With a 4-game stretch like that, let's wait till you see it, and then stick him in your lineup. That's the way that I look at it right now. But look, last night was a tough assignment for any rookie. You know, to go against that Pittsburgh secondary on the road in the cold. You know, you haven't played a lot of games this year. That's a tough draw. Prove it next week, And, you know, then people can feel more confident. But you got to win every game right now. And it's hard to take a crack on the upside when he hasn't shown enough yet statistically. We all know the breakout is coming at some point, but we have to see it for at least one game first.
I use the term that I'm hoping. I'm not, like, betting. But I do think at some point in this stretch run coming up, he will emerge.
Yeah. As we said, the next four games for Tennessee are very, very good. But listen,
this is very tough weeks to have to put this dude in your lineup who hasn't done anything yet. Because you need wins now. You feel what I'm saying? And you need wins now. He's going to be. It's going to be. I'm telling you, over the course of the next couple of weeks, every phone call we get is going to be like such and such a Corey Davis, such and such a Corey Davis, because he's going to be an interesting player. Because you don't want to miss the big blow up game, which we all think is coming, but you also don't want the 2 for 37.
And this is the issue, right? Like everything we have said about Corey Davis. Targets are up. Yes, it's trending the right way. Snaps are up. Yes, it's trending the right way. Receptions are up. It's trending the right way.
Fantasy points have not moved.
Exactly. That is a major issue as we enter week 12 and 13.
Yeah, let's go back to last week, though. I mean, he was inches away from putting a touchdown on the board.
Sure.
That fumbled into the end zone.
Absolutely.
So that, you know, that does skew it a little, and I do think he needs to be more heavily targeted in this offense.
And that's fine. You may feel that way, but if they don't do it, that is an issue.
Yeah, they might not feel that way necessarily. Let's say we can depend on Matthews. We can depend on Walker. We can throw to Murray out of the backfield. We even have Decker as a secondary guy. We don't have to force it with this guy. Let's throw him in the right situation.
Yeah, but I was watching the targets he got. The ones that he did not pull in were not his fault. Those were bad throws of Mariota and stuff like that. I mean, we saw in that first catch the talent that he has, that he that toe drag and stuff. So I just think he was the number five overall pick.
Yep.
I think he's going to get more reinserted. They're going to make a conscious effort. When you have this kind of a talent, look, Rashad Matthews is not going nowhere. Delanie Walker is not going nowhere. But there is still room for him.
Yeah, you have to do it. Sorry. You have to do it, but he's right, because you want to have this guy as a weapon in the postseason, because this team is likely going to the playoffs. That said, he is... You know, but that's not their mentality.
Corey's 100% right.
This guy has missed a lot of time. He's still coming along. We have to remember this is week four for him coming up or something like that. You know, he's still developing his talent as he is.
Who would you rather own going forward, gentlemen? Corey Davis or Rashard Matthews?
I think you have to. I'm going to say Rashard Matthews, because it's just the consistency is there. Mariota has he's comfortable with him. Rashard Matthews isn't going to blow up every week, but he'll have these 20-point weeks. But he should give you a solid, you know, dozen points. He's going to catch, you know, at least 7 passes for 50 yards. So for now, you still have to. If I had to for the stretch run, I'm going to take Matthews because I know what I'm going to get. With Corey Davis, I'm hoping he blows up.
Yeah, I have to see it from Davis. Obviously, he's more talented, but I'm not judging on talent. Fantasy production, numbers. I haven't seen it from... I can't have that conversation about comparing Davis to Matthews when I've seen it from Matthews from 2 years now, and I haven't seen it from Davis yet.
It's so interesting, though, Corey, right? Everyone is now jumping on Rashard Matthews over Corey Davis, and we have said here many times, played either or, did this, and a lot of people on this table said, oh, I'd rather have Corey Davis over this guy. And everyone's like, oh, Rashard Matthews doing this. Why don't we always say, listen, Rashard Matthews is the number one wide receiver in this offense? Why haven't we been saying that for weeks?
Because he doesn't put up number one wide receiver numbers.
Neither is Corey Davis.
Yeah. If I had to pick one for the rest of the way, give me the upside of Corey Davis.
You're still going to Corey Davis.
I still go with the upside of Corey Davis. Because you talk about the safety of Rashard Matthews. How safe is he, really?
Well, on the year... Rashard Matthews,
sure, Corey. I think Corey makes a really good point.
Has 41 for 626 and 3. 41 for 626 and 3. He has scored touchdowns in 2 of his last 3 games now. Those last 3 games, 4 for 70, 5 for 50, 5 for 113. He's got at least 6 targets in all of his last 4 games.
Yeah, but still, when you look at what he's doing, he's wide receiver 34 in fantasy.
Yeah, wide receiver 3.
Corey, these are excellent points. I just think, like, if you have your stud receiver,
me.
if you got, like, an Antonio Brown and somebody, and then you have, like, Matthews is your third, it's that comfort, yeah, it's that comfort zone to get 12, 13 points.
He's
but I do agree that the upside, I've been chasing it. Like Scott said, he missed like 9 games, 8 games.
Jermaine Kearse, Marquise Lee, Nelson Aguilar, Paul Richardson have more fantasy points than Rishard Matthews.
I get it. He's a wide receiver. He's a wide receiver three. But like some of those guys, like Nelson Aguilar hasn't done anything in like a month.
No, exactly.
You know. But anyway, when it comes to Corey Davis, as I said before the break, it's got to be put over shut up time at some point. Like these targets are awesome.
Need numbers. Need fantasy
points. Shut up time could be next week in Indianapolis.
It could be, or he shuts up again, and we sit here having the same conversation against. Oh, he's facing Houston now. Put him in.
It's very hard to do.
Yeah. Take a break. We'll come back. Talk about the running game for Thursday night. Derrick Henry, DeMarco Murray. What we saw, what we thought, and what we believe going forward. That's all next on the Roto Experts.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
We're back with you, and we want to talk about Derrick Henry and DeMarco Murray. Because on Thursday, you had DeMarco Murray carry the ball 8 times and have 10 yards. Now, he had 5 receptions for 37, which...
saved him.
Saved his life. That was it. Derrick Henry, 7 for 32. Matt, your thoughts?
I mean, Henry did look more explosive. I mean, the thing is, I thought the lot. I mean, that line did get kind of eaten up by the Steelers. It really did. Murray is not the same guy. Scott's pointed it out. You know, maybe he's not healthy, fully healthy yet. And if you're a DeMarco Murray owner, what you're hoping, once again, is that this extended time off, the 10 days, gets him healthier. I mean, I don't know what you do. It's tough to bench him because if they do get in the green zone inside that 5, he's going to get the ball, most likely. So if you sit him, you'll probably get 2 or 3 touchdowns. If you play him, you could get a night like last night where it's just under 10 points in a PPR.
That's exactly what happened to me. I benched him last week and I started him this week, you know, so it went the other way in both situations. But when you watch him, even as like he's only gaining 2 yards, when he shifts his weight, when he tries to cut, there's no explosion. There's no juke. There's no burst. When you see him catch a ball in the open field, it's more like he's just like a straight line runner. What makes DeMarco Murray so special when he's on his game and when he's healthy is his ability to juke and cut and maybe one of the best change of direction runners in the entire league. And it's not there at all. Like Matt's completely right. The line wasn't blocking, but you even saw Derrick Henry. You thought he got stuffed in the backfield and he was able to turn the corner and turn it into a really nice run. DeMarco Murray is nowhere near capable of that right now.
So, I don't want to say nowhere near capable of that right now. I want to remember, he played 4 days ago. 4 days ago, he had 3 touchdowns. We're like, okay, listen, DeMarco Murray.
But the yardage wasn't there.
But if you, I think Greg makes a great point.
Hold on,
he makes a great point about the 4 days. Because if you go back a couple of weeks ago on Thursday night, LeSean McCoy, who put up a 2-point night. That.
Yeah.
The older back, maybe, too, you know what I'm saying?
Guys that banged up hamstring and knee injuries. Good point. You know, 4 days, not a lot of time to recover, et cetera. The other thing is, though, you did get the 3 touchdowns from him on Sunday, but the yardage certainly wasn't there. And, you know, last time he had a week off, we thought he was going to come back healthy. He had his first carry of the game in that first game back. Like, He juked. I said, look like DeMarco Murray. He injured his knee on the next play.
Ultimately, like I said, it's 4 days, and you give them now 10 days off, I think with that schedule that we just talked about, I think it all changes for the good for DeMarco Murray. I'm not out on DeMarco Murray. I'm not in on Derrick Henry. As long as Murray is healthy, there's going to be a clear split. There's not just going to go to Derrick Henry all of a sudden.
Tennessee is thinking the same way as you, 52 to 16 snaps.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not all of a sudden just going to change when it comes to DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry. And we keep speculating. There's no need to speculate. We know how this works out. Matt Ridge's snap count, 52 to 16. DeMarco Murray's the running back to own in Tennessee. Don't think twice about this.
He's healthy, but he's not quite healthy. He's just healthy enough to play.
I don't agree. I think he's healthy.
I don't think he's 100%.
Okay. Take a break. We'll be back right after this.